Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in on this Thursday morning. Glad you're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show on 97.1 FM Talk. And it means you're a hard worker because you're up early and it's still very dark outside. However, you're going to walk out the door this morning and you're going to think to yourself, it's like a heat wave. Like, I couldn't believe the difference walking out to my vehicle this morning from yesterday. There was like, it must be a 25 or 30 degree difference. And man, I'm glad we're done with that for sure. Yesterday, I got a call from my aunt who lives just south of Myrtle Beach, right? South Carolina. And she snowed in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I saw pictures yesterday of snow on the beach in Pensacola. It was stunning. There were people out walking on the beach that is covered with snow. And, I guess it's the first time it's happened since the late 1800s, which is pretty funny, but also means it's not unprecedented. So it, you can say what you want, but these people down there do not know how to deal with snow. Matthew Rocchio in here with us this morning for Kim St. Ange. Thank you, my friend.
Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate that. Kim has got a few days off, and she will hopefully be back next week. And Carl Middleman in here with us this morning. What's going on?
Blues game tonight.
There's a Blues game. Who are they playing?
Vegas. They're doing a home-and-home with Vegas.
Okay. All right. Well, good. In fact, I'm supposed to go to that game tonight, Carl.
You should go.
I might.
It's Hello Kitty night.
Oh, great. What will I get? Like a Hello Kitty purse when I walk in the door?
It's a plushie, I believe.
Oh, no kidding. Can I sell that on eBay when I'm done?
I don't believe you can't.
Well, I mean, is it a collector's item?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually, this is the first time they've done it, and it is actually selling surprisingly well.
No kidding. Matthew, you have a collection of those?
I do not.
No.
The only thing I know about Hello Kitty is that there was a controversy years ago when the company claimed that Hello Kitty is not a kitty, it's a person.
Yes.
And then there was a whole controversy because people like found out the real history, like the original creator apparently did say that she was a kitty. That's all I know is there was a controversy about her nature.
The founder of Hello Kitty was a furry? What are we saying here?
No, not that at all.
I don't think that at all.
Oh.
There was a controversy about whether or not it was a cat or was it a person who dressed up like a cat.
It's a person dressed up like a
cat. Except if you read the original notes of the person who invented her.
I see.
It's like a Japanese just game show, Mark.
Right over my head. I have no idea what the hell we're talking about here. I just got to be honest with you. I did see some good comments from a former St. Louis Blue T.J. Oshie yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's speaking out.
He won a cup with the Washington Capitals.
Yes, he did. Yeah. And apparently he put out some sort of a good luck President Trump tweet earlier this week and is taking lots of hate for it.
Well,
And T.J. don't care.
Plays in Washington.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I thought,
at the Capital One Arena where Donald Trump spent many days last week.
I know, where he praised all the sports teams that play there as well, if I remember that correctly. All right. Lots of good stuff we're going to get to for you this morning. And, we're going to get the lieutenant governor on here in the 7 o'clock hour because he has sort of pushed back along with the attorney general, Eric Schmidt, and others who are reaching out to support the Trump administration and when it comes to DEI. And indoctrination and all of that, they've issued letters in support of what's going on up there. And they want the Missouri Supreme Court to step in and stop forcing attorneys in Missouri are forced to take mandatory DEI training every year. And it's a court order, basically, on the training required for them, and they're asking the Supreme Court to reconsider that in the state of Missouri. We'll get the Lieutenant Governor on here this morning at 7:45 to talk a little bit more about that. We got Shannon Bream, of course, Griff Jenkins. We'll check in with Tommy Ackerman a little later. I'm sure he'll talk Blues and SLU basketball. I heard Matthew talking about their big victory last night. Good for them. First, though, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The funny thing, maybe the sad thing, is he didn't give himself a pardon. And if you look at it, it all had to do with him.
Yeah, everybody's saying that somehow Donald Trump issued a veiled threat, or maybe not so veiled, against Joe Biden last night when he was on the Hannity show. But if you listen to it in context, I'm not really sure he's interested in going there.
Remember the 37 murderers that President Biden commuted their sentences? Remember two of them, one that he pardoned, the one that he pardoned killed two FBI agents.
Yeah, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, the senator most likely to drag you out into the hallway and beat you to death, is also defending Donald Trump when it comes to these dueling pardons between Trump and Biden.
You're going to do a Sig Hail? You're going to do a Hail Hitler, or their rebrand, a Roman salute? It's on.
Sig Hail. I own a Sig. I've seen Hail, but I don't think AOC knows what the hell she's talking about.
The bill sponsors aren't even close to the city. They aren't even in the same area code as the city of St. Louis. And they only come in the city to go to baseball games and hockey games.
Woo! Mayor Tish is hot. She's hot. She can't believe that somebody like St. Charles County Senator Nick Schroer would dare to introduce a bill taking her police power away from her. She was down there arguing to the legislature yesterday against Senator Schroer's bill. I sent him a picture. The picture on the front page of the Post was pretty funny. You can see Schroer talking into a microphone with his big beard. He's very recognizable. And in the
looks
background,
like Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, and in the background, you can see Tashara Jones and the police chief back there, like, giving him the evil eye from the audience. They're in the front row of the audience, and they're like staring at him like, how dare you comment on my city because you only come here for baseball games, which of course they welcome. They want you to come here for baseball games. They don't want you to have an opinion on the crime problem and the lack of manpower plaguing their own police department. That, you know what my issue is with this. It's pretty simple. You were just gifted millions of dollars in a legal settlement from a football team that screwed the region. And instead of spending a dime of it on public safety, you're handing it out to constituents to get reelected. And you could give a crap about the public safety. Nothing. Nothing. The police got a raise, according to my friends in the police department, an insulting raise. And you paid for it by cutting more positions. That's defunding the police, in my opinion. You've got to have for any sanity in this city, because anything the mayor or the board of aldermen touch, in my opinion, it's a one way train, and the bridge is out, right? So the only way to save the police department with any sanity at all is to turn it over to a board of independent people controlled by the state legislature, as it was for years. And that way it doesn't get defunded. You'll remember the bill that we voted on in the election. Was it August? I think it was August. That basically says you are not able to, there's a minimum amount you have to use to fund the police department. It won't allow them to defund the police. And that wasn't set to go into effect till 2026, with the full belief that by that point the police department in Missouri, in St. Louis, would be under the state of Missouri. So there's a plan here. And I think it's just a matter of time. We'll talk more about that throughout the morning. But I want you to hear more on what happened in Jeff City yesterday. Kim St. Ange was spot on. when she said, you know, it's weird that the chief and the mayor came out and announced all of this drastic reduction in crime they're claiming and a pay raise for police the day before a hearing in Jeff City where they're talking about taking control of the police department back. It was all timed perfectly. And not many people here are happy about their plans for a pay raise anyway. Of course, they're going to take it, but it should have been so much more for the men and women who put their life on the line every day for us. All right, let's get to a quick break here. Carl, who do we have today for the National Anthem?
We're waking up Jeremy Boyer by having people text him saying that, hey, Carl is playing your anthem.
Nice.
Do you believe that moment? People say to me, they see a change in you. Do you believe you've changed? Is this, for example, increased your faith in God?
Yes, I think so. I don't think I've changed, but I think that has taken place, yeah. Because when you look at statistically, I should never be here. I mean, if I don't turn my... I'm looking at an immigration chart, my favorite chart ever in history.
Yeah.
Even if it was a bad, even if the numbers were bad, I would like
I mean,
like
we're talking about assassination and you're telling
you
jokes.
Believe it? Yeah. No, can
no,
you believe
it's terrible.
It?
Yeah, yeah. Part of the president's speech last night, your interview with Sean Hannity, if you watched it, must watch TV. And, you know, I don't know why the left wants to argue with him over that. I think any of us might feel that way. If you survived a shooting by so close a call that the bullet grazed the side of your head, only because you turned it at the last second to look at something to make a point, I suspect you might feel the same way, at least to the extent that you'd been given a second opportunity to get something accomplished. I think that would motivate a lot of people to do that. Can we talk about the fact that today is Thursday, the 23rd?
1, 2, 3.
It's the 23rd. Donald Trump's been president for 3 days. The change in government agencies has been dramatic already. We talked yesterday about the fact that they're calling all government employees back. They have to these agencies have to like 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, I think, to inform all of their employees and give them about a 30-day grace period. That if you've been working from home, guess what? Time to come back. And then they put out a call that they're ending all of these DEI programs, and that if you're part of that, then you're about to be fired. So some of these departments, here's what's going to happen. This is part of the discussion about the ensconced bureaucracy in the country. Donald Trump's talked about it a lot, and I think anybody who's paid attention knows that it's there. It's more than just switching out the department heads. This has been ingrained in Washington politics for a long time. A lot of these people are civil service employees. A lot of them are lifers. Administrations change. The drumbeat goes on. So what you have are people now still in there who are all in for Joe Biden's woke policies. The DEI, the didn't earn it a crowd, wants these policies to stay in effect. And I have a pretty great example of it from right here in the greater St. Louis area. Here's what's going to happen, right? And I saw some pictures on Twitter this morning. I wish I had saved them. But the point being that they were pictures of a person whose title changed from DEI director on the 21st. And on the 22nd, it had changed to, executive for personnel. All they did was change the title, which means there's a very good chance, unless whoever the person is who takes over that department looks deeper into it, they're going to continue doing the same things they were doing before, just with a different title. I think there will be a lot of evasion like that, and I worry that maybe, just maybe, the administration is onto them, I would like to think. The administration's onto them. Somebody forwarded this to me yesterday, and I want to read this to you verbatim because I think it's important for us to all understand what will be attempted here. All right. And I'm going to hide the protect the identity of the people that sent this to me just because I appreciate them them reaching out. It's somebody who works for the VA here in greater St. Louis area, right? Up there at the Jefferson Barracks campus, the VA. Here's an email that went out on 1/22 of 2025. That would be yesterday as I checked the calendar. Dear VA St. Louis team, in accordance with a recent executive order, the VA's Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion closed today. Although this change brings an official end to our DEI program, the principles of equity, respect, and inclusion remain essential to who we are and what we do every day. At this time, we are pausing our special emphasis program observance events until further notice. Therefore, the annual MLK Jr. Birthday Observance Memorial Program, scheduled for Thursday, January 23rd, is canceled. Please know our EEO office remains open, and we will continue to foster a welcoming and supportive environment for all veterans and employees. Thank you, Cindy Dorfner, U.S. Air Force retired Chief Public Affairs, VA St. Louis Healthcare System, Jefferson Barracks Campus. And it lists a phone number and an email address. So, in other words, I'm not quite sure what an MLK celebration has to do with diversity, equity, and inclusion, but it seems to me like they're trying to stick the knife in and make a point by canceling other things that aren't connected to the Office of DEI. I think we'll see this across the country unless they're ready for it, and we'll find out shortly. We're going to be back in just a minute.
These world-leading technology giants are announcing the formation of Stargate. So put that name down in your books, because I think you're going to hear a lot about it in the future. A new American company that will invest $500 billion at least in AI infrastructure in the United States, and very, very quickly, moving very rapidly, creating over 100,000 American jobs almost immediately.
What kind of a country do we want to be going forward?
Charles Payne, host of Making Money.
I want to be that country that was number one, really enjoyed being number one, and did everything it could to stay number one.
Charles Payne, back on the air with us, my friend. How have you been?
I'm great. It's been too long.
It has been too long. I think I'm going to use some of my Trump coin proceeds to buy into Skynet. What do you think?
You might as well.
I'm just telling you. What do you think about this thing? I mean, I'm glad the U.S. has taken the lead in it. $500 billion? I mean, Trump didn't waste any time.
He didn't waste any time. You know, on my show about 2 or 3 months ago, I played a clip of Masa's son at a conference, and he said, overall, it's going to take $9 trillion to make this, you know, to take it to its ultimate potential. You know, and it's just something that's real. You know, maybe two, 3 weeks ago, China unveiled their sort of AI product, and it surprised a lot of people. It was a lot better than folks thought. This is a serious race, and, you know, we've got to win it, and we want to definitely win it. We want to own it, and you know, obviously, there's all kinds of people involved, so there's all kinds of ulterior motives, and you know, like Larry Ellison kept bringing up vaccines. I kept cringing every time he said the word.
Yeah.
But I also know that Larry Ellison is spending a fortune trying to live forever, so, you know, he's got his own motivations, right?
Yeah, very true. Yeah, what about the criticism that the president's taken over this this Trump coin? I mean, this thing went gangbusters, right? What's the market cap on it?
I don't know. I'm not even watching it, honestly. I have my hands full. I got to be honest with you, Mark. I'm making people more money than I've ever made them in my life. I mean, it's really what we're doing right now. Rockets. Listen, invest in rockets. Invest in, you know, space rockets, robots, AI. We're in a fourth industrial revolution, and you know, the only problem is sometimes people want to get it, you know, make so much overnight.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, and it happens, but it's not, you know, it's, you got to pinch yourself. You got to stick with your rules. But, you know, I'm not messing around with those coins, man. I mean, I've got a Bitcoin. That's good enough for me. And, you know, the other stuff, God bless them. But, you know, there's a lot of folks who think it's unethical. I don't have an opinion on that. You know, I think as long as everything's above board, right? You know, it's above board. You know who it is. It's not anything shady. If you don't like it, don't buy it.
Yeah, I think it's a great point.
Hey, I have to ask you about what I heard some, I think, liberal analysts talking about, where they were saying, you know, everyone blamed Biden for inflation and for high gas prices and all of these things that we've seen over the last number of months, or arguably years. And they were trying to say, you know, the president really doesn't have that much influence over that. Now, I understand to a degree that that's probably true, but I would argue what he did with oil and all of these things, that absolutely does have an impact. So what kind of an impact do you think Donald Trump really can have?
I think first and foremost, and it's understated, is enthusiasm. You know, there's no such thing as really, really being ultra successful by accident. There's got to be a certain amount of optimism that goes into these things. In other words, we have to buy into it. It's like going to watch a sci-fi movie about someone who finds some ember, and there's a mosquito in there that bit a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And we've got to believe that they could bring that dinosaur to life. And what happens in economies, no matter what the economic system is, a large portion of success depends on the populace buying into it, because now we're willing to go and make the investments. We're willing to have the patience. We're willing to be, you know, it's so much to be said for that, you know, and that the tonality, just think about AI, for instance, right? The Biden administration, they were roping it in. They had criticism. They're always criticizing successful people anyway. And now Trump is saying, hey, let's unleash it. Let's let it go to where it's going to go, because we're not the only players, right? We're not the only country in the world that wants to dominate, and that's going to be the way to leverage it. So I think that has a big role. And then I think policy has a big role. You know, Biden pumped a lot of money into the economy that it did not need. And that's what triggered 40-year high inflation. And he never stopped. You know, it wasn't just the $2 trillion to fight COVID, wink, wink. It was, you know, it was the Infrastructure Act. It was the CHIPS Act. It was the Inflation Reduction Act. All of this put money in the economy. And many times, I mean, we gave money to semiconductor companies, the richest companies on the planet. Why are they getting taxpayer money? I'd rather have someone like Trump say, hey, listen, I'll usher it in. I'll control it, help to, you know, keep guardrails on it. But we're not going to take taxpayer money, because the fact of the matter is, when these things do very well, we don't get any money. We don't get a dividend check. And then when they fall apart, we're just saddled with more debt. You know, so all of those EV things, you should see these EV stocks in the last year and these solar stocks. I'm in one called Enphase. Oh, my God, I'm down like 60%. I got crushed in this bad boy. Trying to pick winners and losers with taxpayer money, I think, is a mistake.
It's a good point. Charles Payne with us right now, of course, from Fox Business Network. And, you know, Charles, I'm watching a new show called Landman, and I love it. It's all about the oil industry and, you know, where gas prices are and oil prices are and all this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, because the main complaint I've heard from these liberals is the snarky comments. Well, my gas prices aren't down yet. I thought he was going to do that on day one. That was never the point. The point is drill, baby, drill. I mean, there's got to be a lot of momentum out there among these energy companies right now.
Yeah. Oil just broke out recently, and energy stocks are doing okay. You know, it's interesting, though. The more oil we drill, if the price goes too low, it's not going to necessarily help them. I think their sweet spot, no pun intended, is about $70, $68. But
yeah.
I watched the first 5 or 6 episodes. I'm so-so. I love the lead actors and stuff, but golly, some of them is like, do we need that?
Yes.
By the way, why are they so accident-prone? These guys have been doing this for 30 years. All of a sudden, he's standing on a pile of pipes. Like, my man, you learned that the first year. You know, every episode someone's in a hospital. What the hell's going on? But it does underscore the fact that this is a hard gig, that it's not easy, that it's high risk, that it takes a lot of money. You drill a dry hole, no one pays for it. And to your point, these projects, you know what saved Biden with respect to oil? New Mexico. The New Mexico Permian Basin. No one talked about it, but it was something that was already in the pipeline. Again, no pun intended. And so what Trump is going to pull off, or what Trump is going to be able to do, is to unlock these sort of, these drilling permits. But you get the permits, then you raise the money, then you start the drilling. And the results of these things will be felt and seen years down the road, not tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. What you got coming up on the show today?
Oh, man. Well, you know, obviously, I got to hit this AI stuff really, really hard. Quantum, I don't know. It's been a while since we talked. So November 20th, I did a show, and I talked about quantum computing. No one on financial media anywhere talked about it. I featured three stocks. Two went up 1,000%.
Oh.
No, 1,000%. So then Jensen Huang from NVIDIA 3 weeks ago comes out and says, it's premature. This stuff won't be anything for 15, 30 years. They get hammered. They're coming back, and guess who's talking quantum? Jensen Huang. Right? So I'll talk about AI. I'll talk about quantum. We just began earnings season. And again, the tariffs and all these other things. I think right now animal spirits supersedes everything.
Yeah, there you have it. You know, Charles, I just got to tell you, I watched you on the Water Show last night. Man, that suit that you had on was the bomb. Can I just tell you that?
Thanks a lot.
Tell Waters to get a wider shot of you next time, like they were cutting off your shoulders. I couldn't see it.
All right, you got it.
All right, buddy, take care.
See you guys later.
All right, I'll see you later. That suit was awesome.
Was it the brown one? I was just
looking. Yeah, with the stripes on it, the big stripes.
Yeah. That is nice looking.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, you talk about some fashion taste. Charles got
to
go.
Come on, Mark, you're a trendsetter.
No one ever, for sure.
You don't want to wear your tuxedo into the office?
I do not, if I could avoid it.
You could wear a suit like that.
I did have to dig my tux out the other day. I bought one when I worked at Channel 4 years ago because I would MC events, and I hated having to, you know, going to rent one's a pain in the rear end, and it's expensive. So I finally just bought one, and I had to dig it out the other day because I thought if I made it to D.C., I had a chance of going to one of those balls, and I was going to have to dress up in a monkey suit if I actually did that. And it still fits. So I was happy about that.
Well, that's the positive.
I do have
that's
one.
That's the silver lining in all of this. I know your trip was basically ruined and canceled. You didn't get to go see him in person. But you know what? Gosh darn it. The tuxedo fits.
The tux still fits from all those years ago when I was still working where what I wore mattered. There you have it. All right, coming up, we were kicking around some names for the group that follows us there on the socials, the YouTube, the Facebook, and all that, and got some interesting suggestions. We'll let you hear some of those right after this. Stay tuned. All right, I love that song, man. That was that came on at the eighth grade dance that we used to go to, and you were looking for...
What DJ would put that on?
Last song of the night, and you're looking for some girl to pull up onto the dance floor and dance
for 8 minutes.
Because it's an 8 minute long song. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, let's whip out the Stairway.
Let's go. Stairway to Heaven would be the final song of the evening. You knew that the dance was just about over. That was your chance to make your move. Never worked, in eighth grade, but that's what I remember from that. A friend of mine just said, I was joking about the weather in Florida earlier, which is no joke. Like, Pensacola, Florida has snow cover. Like, on the beach is covered with snow. It was the weirdest thing. I looked at the video yesterday. Somebody just did a 360 out on the beach in Pensacola, which is a wide beach anyway. And it's just, there's palm trees and there's snow. Inches and inches of snow. In fact, my friend Brad reached out to me this morning and sent me a picture from his son's front yard in Pensacola. And for those of you who are on the stream this morning, I'll hold this up to the camera. That's a ruler, and it says 8 3/4 inches on the ruler. It's probably hard to see on the phone if you're looking at it there. But that is a ruler stuck down into the snow in the front yard of Brad's son in Pensacola, Florida, with 8 3/4 inches of snow, which is about the most snow anybody can remember, because the last time they got 4 inches of snow, like, it was 1954, was the biggest recorded snowfall in Sunshine State history. However, there are unconfirmed reports of higher amounts that occurred in the 1800s and early 1900s. I-10 has been closed from the Alabama state line most of the way to Tallahassee. So it's shocking to them because they have no way of cleaning it, right?
No snow plows.
They don't have any snow plows down there. And my guess is, and I don't know, maybe some of them don't even haven't turned their furnace on in years. It gets chilly. My buddy in Mobile, just outside of Mobile, Alabama, said that it was about 22 degrees on his back porch, but the snow was all south of him. I think he lives near Hoover, which isn't all that far from Tuscaloosa. But the southern part of the state, even in Alabama, ended up getting some snow all the way over to northern Florida.
My friends in Miami don't have coats. They don't own coats.
They just don't.
They said
like
it takes
jackets,
up,
but not coats.
They have jackets, but they don't have coats. They don't. They said it takes up too much closet space, and they don't need them, so they just layer.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, most of it's shut down. I'm sure. I am looking forward. However, it is going to be in the 50s here. It looks like by the middle of next week, and nothing below 32 degrees starting tomorrow.
But it might snow tonight.
Well, there were some snow flurries this morning, but, I mean, who cares? That means we're going to get rid of most of the snow, at least in the next week. I did see our friend Jane Dukert tweeting out this morning that 17 days later, they're still having ice problems on St. Louis streets. 17 days later. Carl, when you come in the morning, do you come across 14th Street?
I do.
Down to Olive?
I do.
If you notice there, if you're in the right lane at 14th Street, when you approach Market, you have to cross Market to get to Olive, there is a snow pile that still juts out into the street in the lane,
blocking
in the right
lane.
Yeah. So in other words, two cars could not simultaneously go across that intersection at the same time. What would be the difficulty in getting a St. Louis City snowplow down there to fix that? It's little things like that that just drive me crazy.
Well, the street department's not here. It's at 44 in Hampton. So if it was here, someone might notice it and do it.
You think maybe that's just out of sight? I mean, but the people driving around downtown have to notice it. They have all of the government employees that the head of all the departments are downtown. They drive around downtown. How do they not know that?
Definition of out of sight, out of mind, though, might be the fact that I didn't realize this. Garbage isn't being collected because the alleyways are inches of ice, and so the trucks can't get down there. So if you look at any city alleyway, everything is just overflowing. And as a city resident who doesn't have to deal with that garbage situation, I have in the past, and that's just the worst when that happens. You don't know what to do. You feel bad for adding to it. What are you supposed to do? Just keep it in your house? It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Sue, is Sue available for us here, Carl? Do we know? Sue Thomas, can you hear me? I don't know. She's tuned in to us or not. She tweeted out yesterday, and Duker had shared this. How long ago did it snow? Walking or driving in my neighborhood is still nuts. And she's got a picture of the street, which is still completely snow covered with tire ruts on it in South City. And I mean, it is crazy this was dated 1/22. So it was yesterday afternoon at almost 3 o'clock when she shared that picture. And then Jane also shared the picture with the garbage piled up. Mm-hmm. I assume because the trash company is saying they can't get to it.
Yeah, because the way that it's been driven over and the snow melts, it freezes back over. It's worse than some of the streets where it's just like that. I mean, we're talking like a 1 to 2 inch thick sheet of ice on some of these alleyways, just completely covered.
Is that Sue's picture?
No,
right
this is Jane Duker's picture that she shared. I don't know if she took it or if she shared it from someone else, but that's the pile of garbage around a couple of the dumpsters in South City.
Susan.
And then, of course, you have the elderly driver who lost control and hit the lady who was walking on the side of the road because she couldn't access a sidewalk because that wasn't cleared either.
Yeah.
There's Sue.
I was talking about your picture that Jane Duker shared yesterday of your street 17 days later.
It's ridiculous.
Honestly.
And I went for a walk yesterday, so that's not my street. It's just my neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
The alley is the same way.
Is there garbage piled up?
Well, no, they actually made it and got our garbage.
Oh.
But here's what's interesting, that shot, which is just a complete ice slick. So I got there and I thought, am I going to have to turn around or am I going to have to try to skate across the street? That street is right in front of an alderman's house.
Oh, no.
So it's just ridiculous, That's all. It's a basic service. Come on, people.
Importantly, the mayor was in Jeff City yesterday trying to save control of the police department instead of sitting in the office of whoever's in charge of the streets and saying, I'm not leaving here until we fix this problem.
Exactly.
Right? Wouldn't you think that would be one solution to it?
And that would have been weeks ago that should have happened.
17, 18 days later. And you would think that in St. Louis, we wouldn't have the same problems they have in Pensacola, Florida. They have 8 inches of snow. It shut them down, as you can imagine.
Oh, my gosh, Mark. My brother sent me pictures from Houston.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't know that we've ever gotten this much. I mean, my Cameron was out in the snow. They had enough snow to make snowmen down there.
I'll bet the kids were thrilled. They'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah. Oh, they were wide-eyed. but yeah.
It's the parents that are having to deal with the fallout
yeah,
of it, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. All right, Sue. Thank you. Appreciate that. Coming up, we're going to check in with our buddy Evan Brown to see how bad that is across the Southeast with all those snowstorms they got yesterday and the day before. Then we'll check in with Tom Ackerman in sports.
Get more at 971talk.com.